Fuck.
You look fantastic, boob of you.
Okay.
I'll take you anywhere.
Audio for Nada Awad. Good afternoon. Good evening. What day is it? We need to get some time code on this shit. Space time continuum. It's 7:11 p.m. 7:11 p.m. on the 2nd of May. 2nd of May. I'm at my friend Adam Ford's awesome inner city bachelor pad of Gnarly. The People's Palace, as it's known. It truly is. Like, I think he gave it that name facetiously. That you've gone quiet now. You've got all self-conscious. It's only for my friend Nada. It's not going on the blog. Don't worry. She asked me to record some audio, so I'm going to. We've had an incredible day, incredible week on the amazing political shenanigans, incredible shit happening in the tiny world of Tegan Evans's social soap opera. But it's Liv's pre-birthday. It's actually her birthday in a week's time, but we had her pre-birthday celebration today. We met up at the Hopetown Tea Rooms and had tea, and high tea with like sandwiches and little cakes and everything. It was all very civilised. Then we went to a pub. We were going to go ice skating and we were sort of thinking about going to the movies, but we just sort of stayed at the pub. Then we came back to Adam's house and now it's getting dark. Where was I? The space-time continuum. You want me to talk about that? Well, I'm going somewhere with this. Trust me, Nada. I planned this all out of my head. I'm quite drunk, but I thought that was probably the best way to do it. Space-time continuum is a very interesting phenomenon. I think basically that it's made up, that it's not real, that it's an illusion. Go with me on this. I realise it sounds a bit eccentric. Time, for starters, is not real. You know, I'm sure you've heard this one before. Think about it. The past. Have you ever been there? Does the past actually exist? I don't think so. I think it's something you think about. I think it's a mental construct that we create in our minds. I don't think it's real. Similarly, the future. Have you ever been to the future? Will you ever be in the future? No, you'll never be in the future. It's always going to be something you think about, something you construct with your mind. As such, in practice, all that exists is the present moment that you're in right now. That's all there ever is. And as such, time is recognisable as a thing that was made up by people. We created this concept of time, we created systems to measure it and carve it up, and that illusion became so powerful in our minds that we think it's real. It's not, it's made up. Ago, time, forget about it, not real. And space, this is a little bit more difficult, but if you've taken enough acid or whatever, you know, mushies, Bill Higgs expresses it well, you will start to notice that matter, physical matter, space, is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration. If you've been there, you'll know what I'm talking about. Ergo, space, also an illusion. So the space-time continuum, very interesting subject, but the whole thing is an illusion. It's made up. It was made up by people with their brains, and it's not real. So forget about it. And what I was going to talk about, actually, was the week I've had, and this woman, Ms. Jessica Kilby, you may have heard of her. She was known in Eurocamp circles as Lady J. I've had a long and considerable association with this woman, and that relationship has demonstrated to me, like no other, the fact that the space-time continuum is bullshit. It's made up. It's an illusion. You know, like long, complicated, fractured, long gaps where we haven't seen each other or spoken to each other, long gaps where we've been very close emotionally but very far apart physically and have communicated sort of in all kinds of very interesting ways. You know, I met up with a bitch this week, this Wednesday, big reconciliation after 18 months of estrangement, and it was awesome. It was so good to see her, and, you know, whilst I wouldn't want to second guess her, I would hazard that she felt somewhat the same. If you ask her, I suspect she'll tell you. It was so good to see her again, Nada. It was so good. I've missed her so much. Oh, my God. But long, complicated story. Time code. That's why I was going to mention it, because I remember when she came to Melbourne. I'm quite drunk. When she came to Melbourne in 2008. Yeah, 2 years ago, Easter 2008, the last time we reconciled. She made a status update about Jess Kilby. Jess Kilby needs some time code, which is the stuff, you know, the bar down the bottom of when you're doing offline video editing. There's a little code running across the bottom of the screen showing where you are time-wise in the tape. And the point was, she was walking down Ackland Street in St Kilda, because she and Rob were living in Elwood in South Melbourne at that time. And she was walking down Ackland Street in St Kilda, where I used to live in 2005 when we first got involved. And I sent her a video of me walking down Ackland Street. And she was walking down Ackland Street and went, oh my God, slippage of time, I could be back in you know, Portland, Maine, watching this video that Tegan sent me. But no, I'm actually here walking down the street. I need some time code because my sense of time is slipping and I don't know whether it's now or 2 years ago or when, you know, when the hell it is. Yeah, and I was just telling Patrick Porter as well this story. Long story. I'm trying to think. You'll have to bear with me because I'm kind of obsessed with this thing and it's been a big deal to me, particularly this week. But I think it's illustrative. You wanted me to talk about the space-time continuum, and I'm doing the best I can with what I've got, which is... can you hear them singing in the background? Oh, my God.
Love to explore that shore up above. Wonder and see. Wish I could be part of that world.
Walking around on those, what's that word again? Feet. Do 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 do. Where did it do all day in the sun? Do do do. Ah, the Little Mermaid. Have we got an undrunk cider somewhere? Ah, yes, here we go. Oh, and here's a partially empty. That's not empty. That's not empty. That's not empty.
It's, yeah, but this...
They're all empty. Dude.
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 Like dude.
Like dude.
Like.
Anyway, when I first quote-unquote met Jay, which was online during the NeuroCam era, which you will recall, although you were 13 at the time. Time, eh? Funny thing. Passes by. People get older. How does it go? How's this song? Children get older and I'm getting older too.
Oh my God, I love that song.
Yeah, but I only knew the Dixie Chicks. I only found out it was a Fleetwood Mac song the other day because, I know, I couldn't believe it either. Never gotten into Fleetwood Mac. I probably should. Time makes you bolder. Children get older. I'm getting older too. It was a beloved song of Jay's when she was getting divorced. But I'm getting ahead of myself. We met during the NeuroCam era. She was married at the time, but very unhappy in her marriage. And we kind of got involved. And then she left her husband and went to the UK to do her master's and got divorced, you know. And then we were engaged for a while, for about 6 months. We were going to get married, she and I. We met up in sort of Christmas, New Year, 2006. 2007, and that was fairly awesome. Then I got very depressed and we broke up and weren't getting married anymore. And then she got involved with Rob Healy, who was sort of like my arch nemesis at the time. This guy I hated more than anyone else on earth. And that was kind of challenging for me. But, you know, the particularly interesting part was that at that time I was in the process of becoming friends with Rob Healy because he wanted to be friends with me. And I wanted a reference from him because I was applying to VCA. So, you know, we were sort of hovering around each other going, you know, maybe we could be friends. All the time, without my knowledge, he was getting involved with Jay, my very recently ex-fiancé. And what with one thing and another, we all stopped being friends. But, you know, then Rob succeeded very shortly after that. He succeeded in getting Jay to do what I never quite managed to get her to do. She flew to the other side of the world to be with him here in Melbourne. And one day when they were fucking eeing off their tits, Rob said to Jay, you know what, we should call up Tegan and get him to come and meet us. And I was having a picnic on Royal Parade with Gab, who's just left, Liv's best friend. You might have heard her sing with Patrick earlier. And call from Jay, do you want to come up to Alia, have some drinks? And we all kissed and made up and became best of friends. And it was great until 3 months later. What do you know, Rob dumped her ass, which was fairly devastating for her because she was completely in love with him and also left her very high and dry because she was here on a tourist visa. She was doing a job that he had got for her that had gone under. He'd kicked her out of the house, so she had nowhere to live, no job, no legal means of getting a job. And I said to her, you know what, I've got a spare room in my house. Why don't you come stay, live in my house till you get your shit together? And she did, and we started sleeping together again. And I was also seeing this woman, Gab, who I mentioned earlier, at the same time, and that got very complicated. And then Jay met this guy, Robin Wilkinson, who I had met through NeuroCam, good friend of mine, who I was very, 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 very fond of, who, ex of Liv's, who, you know, when her marriage was in the process of breaking up, she got involved with Robin Wilkinson, which is basically how I met Liv, through Rob. Anyway, Jay didn't want to meet Robin Wilkinson because... Robin, having witnessed the way that Jay had treated me earlier, had decided that she was a fucking hoe, and that's an exact quote. And I told Jay about this, so she was sort of like, I don't want to meet this guy, and he was like, I don't want to meet this bitch. But I really pushed hard. I said, you know what, you guys would love each other. You'd get along great. And I worked really hard to persuade them to meet each other. And they did meet each other. And what do you know, they really hit it off. They really hit it off. And they started getting involved. And on my birthday party in September 2008, I happened to walk in on them getting it on, which I really wasn't expecting and was a bit of a shock to me. And that caused large reactions. And Jan and I had a big fight, and she completely cut me out of her life. They both did. And flash forward 18 months later, I've barely seen a hide nor hair of them since. But they're now married. They got married in December, didn't bother to let me know about this, which I was a bit sort of upset by because, you know, for all the politics that have gone down, I really love this woman. And I also really like Robin as well, despite the fact that he's been a fucking prick to me, you know, which I find odd because I've never done anything to him. Politics, the politics that occur between people gets so complicated now, it's ridiculous. Anyway, Liv's birthday's coming up, and so Jay contacted me the other week and said, you know what, Liv's birthday's coming up, and we really need to... It'd be nice if we could all be at Liv's birthday and for it not to be weird or awkward or hostile for someone to get drunk and punch someone else. So let's, you know, let's meet up and see if we can't work this out. So we did on Wednesday, and it was fucking awesome. It was fucking awesome. And why are you cackling? What are you cackling about?
Over, sideways and under, on a magic carpet ride, a whole new world, don't you dare close your eyes, a new fantasy.
And all of that. Liv's proper birthday party is next weekend. This is just like her pre-birthday. So just imagine. Yeah, and we did, and it was so good. We spent the whole day together, or at least a good 4.5 hours. Wandering the streets. It was just like the time when we reconciled 2 years ago. We went to T2 and she bought some tea. We went to Polyester, this sort of alternative bookstore. We wandered the streets. She came back to my house and have tea. We didn't end up getting it on because she's now a happily married woman to Robin Wilkinson, which is very weird for me. And I'm going to have to see the two of them together at Liv's birthday, which is going to be a challenge. But, you know, it's a challenge I'm looking forward to and a challenge that I think I'm equal to. But, you know, like, fucking head fuck of a week. Point is, time, space, continuum, forget about it. I mean, you know, it is something you've got to deal with, but, you know, I wouldn't be too concerned because we made it up. We made it up with our minds. It's not real. It's not real. That's my view. Okay, I hope you enjoyed this audio. How are you? Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to talk about, like having offered to send you some audio. Obviously, there is this kind of implicit suggestion that you could send me some audio in return and respond, but of course... Actually, it's totally obligation-free, liable for nothing. I hope that you've enjoyed the audio. If you feel like sending me some, you can most certainly do that, and you should consider yourself encouraged to do so. But if you don't, do whatever the fuck you want. I remember my grandmother when she was very close to death at some kind of family gathering. She is my paternal grandmother, my father's mother. Never got along with my mother. They were always at odds. She never thought that my mother was good enough for my father. And just to piss her off, just pissed my mother off. She gave me an ashtray because we were having a big war of wills about smoking in the house. Like, I wanted to smoke in my room, and I did. And my mum was like, you can't do that. It's our house. And I was like, well, late at night when I'm alone in my room, you can try and stop me, but you won't succeed. And Dutchie, my grandmother, gave me an ashtray. And in front of my mother, she grabbed me by the wrist and looked at me with this manic intensity. She was very close to death. And she said to me, Barnaby, you know what? In this life, people will try and tell you what you can and can't do. They'll try and tell you what to do. Don't let them. You should do exactly what you want to do. You should do what you want. Don't let any motherfucker tell you different. And it's always stuck with me. It seemed to me like this was the very important life lesson that she was imparting to me. And it worked. I was convinced. I think the pizza's arrived. I think it might be time for pizza. But yeah, anyway, there you go. Oh yeah, for you, Nada Awad. I hope you're well, I really do. How are you? Let me know if you're well. I think about you quite often. I find the whole weird, the whole thing, like that we watched you growing up online for Neurocam. You were this freak child who nobody could really believe was a 13-year-old girl. Endless discussions about, should we promote Nada? Is she real? Does she actually... If she's really a 13-year-old girl, we probably shouldn't. And if she's someone else pretending to be a 13-year-old girl, we probably shouldn't either, but we'd like to. And then we met in New York, which seems like a total dream to me now. It's like my Neurocam promotion when we got picked up in this limo by these masked ninjas and taken for this strange fucking limo ride through the streets of Melbourne to God knows where. It's lucky that that was documented, and I got a little polystyrene apple at the end of it. It gave me Zaid and Operative Plasma this little polystyrene apple, which I keep to this day. And that way I know that despite what my brain tells me, that experience was not a dream. Similarly, the thing meeting up with you in New York, I'm pleased that we got video and audio, because that way I know that I didn't just imagine the whole thing, which is how it seems. In any case, that's all. I hope you're well.